Welcome to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call with Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon. I'm Gary Carmichael. It's great to have you tuned in. Coming up in this week's broadcast in our Understanding the Scriptures segment, Dave and Tom will continue their in-depth study of the book of Acts. And why did Paul turn to the Gentiles? In Religion in the News, an earth-friendly Bible. We'll take a look at that story and examine the question, do Dave and Tom just misunderstand the emerging church? We hope you can stay tuned. Our ministry, the Berean Call, offers a wide variety of teaching materials, including books, tracts, audio and video discs, and copies of our weekly broadcast on compact disc or DVD. You may also subscribe to our monthly newsletter, which we offer free of charge. We'll let you know how to order later in the program. Now, this week's cover article. Tom and Dave continue their series of programs addressing the spiritual movement known as the Emerging Church. This week, we focus on the question, is the Bible just poetry? Along with Dave Hunt, here's T.A. McMahon.
Thanks, Gary. You're listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a program in which we encourage everyone who desires to know God's truth to look to God's Word for all that is essential for salvation and living one's life in a way that is pleasing to Him. In this first segment of our program, we're continuing our series on the emerging church movement. Last week, we addressed what I believe is the most serious problem with this movement that is capturing the imagination of increasing numbers of young evangelicals between the ages of 18 and 30. And that problem is its regard for the Scriptures, or should I say its lack of regard for the Scriptures as the inerrant, completely sufficient, and authoritative Word of God. As we learned last week from some emerging church leaders, the Bible is better used as poetry or as a stimulus for our feelings or emotions, but certainly not as an instruction manual. Dave, here's a quote again, Rob Bell. Rob Bell is an emerging church leader. We quoted this last week, but I think it's important to go over.
Now, Tom, this would be what they would all agree with. Is that right?
Well, that's part of the problem, Dave, because sometimes people accuse us of using a broad brush. Mm-hmm. There are lots of emerging churches out there, and some are into it for this and into it for that and haven't quite gotten up to speed, so you can't really say they're all doing this. But basically, the writers of this, they would be in agreement. I have a book I may quote from today, An Emergent Manifesto. Written by a number of emerging church leaders.
I've read it, but that's what I meant, that the leaders are all in agreement on it.
I would say, and if there are some that have objections to it, they would be going against the crowd, as it were.
Right.
But here's a quote, again, Rob Bell. And while I'm at it, let's make a group decision to drop once and for all the Bible as owner's manual metaphor. It's terrible. It really is. Dave, in addition, there's an interview. Both Rob Bell and his wife, Kristen, did an interview for Christianity Today, and she expands on her husband's Bible as instruction manual complaint. She says, I grew up thinking that we figured out the Bible, that we knew what it means. Now I have no idea what most of it means. And yet I feel life is big again. Like life used to be black and white, now it's in color. Now let me give you one more quote. This is from Leonard Sweet. He says, people today are starved not for doctrines, but for images and relationships and stories. Well?
Tom, this is not only foolishness, which it is, stories, images. We've talked about that many times in the past.
Interpretations based on your feelings.
What is an image going to do for you? Remember the old saying, a picture's worth a thousand words. Well, that's because you can't tell what it means. So you got a thousand different people who are all interpreting it.
Yeah.
Talk to the art critics. You know more about that than I do, Tom.
Well, Dave, you know the saying. Well, I don't know anything about art, but I know what I like.
Yeah.
Okay. See, again, it's so subjective. It's so experiential.
Right, right. So now we are literally, they are literally turning their backs on God and upon His Word. God gave us His Word, didn't He? He gave it to us for instruction in doctrine, reproof, correction. Mm-hmm. And now we're saying, no, that's not what we want. We want images. We want feelings. We want emotions. We want stories.
Well, David, isn't that what Moses, when he led the Israelites out of Egypt, isn't that when he said, hey, let's get into some images. Let's get into something visual.
Yeah, well, that's what Aaron said. He made a golden calf.
Right. But what's really interesting about that, anybody, and we would encourage our listeners, our viewers, to, you know, the name of the program is Search the Scriptures Daily. Don't just buy into what we say. We want to encourage people to check us out. Check everything out according to the Scriptures. It is written.
And, Tom, why do we do that? Because this is God's Word.
Right, right. So, Dave, Moses, if somebody will go to Exodus and read what's taking place there, Moses, through God, is giving them instructions. Mm-hmm. They are to do this. Go to Deuteronomy. I mean, particularly Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers. These are instructions. This is the instruction manual.
Right.
Because God wanted to separate the Israelites from the pagan nations around them. And they needed to know what God wanted them to do, how they were to live, and so on.
And the pagan nations were all into images.
Right.
They were all into mm-hmm. idols. And this is why God says you will not make an image and you will not bow down to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no way that you can depict
right.
the eternal God in visible form.
Mm-hmm. And Dave, it's not just idols, but God condemned the rituals
right.
and so on. And that's what we see today. We're going to get into that by the grace of God in programs coming up. We'll get into it in more depth. But what I'd like to do right now, Dave, is kind of shift gears. I get tired of quoting these guys. You know, you say it makes you angry, some of the things they're saying. But let's quote some scripture here. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. We have quoted, you have, past couple of weeks, Proverbs chapter 4,
verse 7.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I want to go to Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm going to start with verse 1 and just go through. We're not going to read them all, but most of them in chapter 4. And then I want you to comment. So just jump in as the Lord leads you here. Proverbs chapter 4. And again, what I'm trying to do, these were written by Solomon under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And we want to compare that with some of the quotes that I just gave and that we gave last week. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Whoa, doctrine, Dave. Instruction.
Mm-hmm.
For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live.
Now, Tom, I think quite a bit of the book of Proverbs was really David's words,
mm-hmm.
which he taught to his son Solomon.
Right.
But anyway, that's beside the point, because this is the instruction from the Holy Spirit.
Right. And not only Solomon to his son Rehoboam, and we know how that turned out. He didn't heed his father's words. But as you said, for us. So, verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth.
These are words. Tom, I probably...
Not drawings, not images,
right.
not models of this.
Right. I probably mentioned this before, but let's... A little instruction here would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Words are not physical. Ideas are not physical. Doctrine is not physical. Holiness, purity, being filled with the Spirit, submission to the Lord. How are you going to depict that in visible form?
Mm-hmm.
You cannot do it. And illustration I often use is, if I say justice, well, everyone, you know what I'm talking about. What does it weigh? What does it smell like? What's its texture? What does it sound like? It has nothing to do with the five senses that are involved in this physical world. And if you try to make ideas, to express ideas in that form, you are going astray.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you try to express God. Now, God is the one who is, he gave us the capacity for words. And how many times have we quoted Mortimer J. Adler, who says, and how long ago did I read that book? 50 years ago, at least. And in his book, The Difference of Man and the Difference It Makes, remember, he was an atheist,
mm-hmm.
but he was willing to face the facts. And he said, the one thing that you cannot argue with that separates man from all animals, all lower creatures, is the ability to form conceptual ideas and to express them in speech. Now, a conceptual idea is not something that you can draw a picture of, but you can express it in words.
Mm-hmm.
And God has expressed his doctrines, his truth. I mean, truth, what does it weigh? What's its texture? And so forth. No, this is something that God has given us the capacity to comprehend. With all your wisdom, get understanding. You're probably going to get to that verse here.
Mm-hmm.
What is understanding? See, these people are turning away from that. They don't want to understand. Oh, I thought I knew what the Bible was about. Well, now I hardly understand anything in the Bible. Really? The Bible is written for your understanding. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of mm-hmm. God. And that's what this is all about. Mm-hmm. It is not about feelings.
Yeah. Well, Dave, if I have understanding, then I'm obligated, right? I'm accountable for
right.
what I understand
right.
and what I know.
Right.
But if I can massage all those things around, you know, I can keep pushing it off and pushing it off and getting around it and so on.
You can't get around truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it is expressed in words. It involves some doctrine. It has some mm-hmm. form, not a physical form. But you cannot escape truth. Truth is objective. It can be expressed in speech.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be expressed any other way. It's an idea. It's non-physical. And,
mm-hmm.
and Tom, this has such repercussions because we live in an age when it is very important to understand this. Materialism. These guys are materialists.
Mm-hmm.
They may talk about the spirit, may talk about feelings or whatever.
And mystery and
right,
so on.
But they are materialists because they think the only way you can get to this is through an icon or a candle,
mm-hmm.
some visible.
It's sensuality.
Right. So when you take that route, you are on a downward path to paganism. In fact, you have already become a pagan.
Mm-hmm. David, I'm going to go back to verse 5 so we keep this in context. This is, if you've just joined us, this is Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm picking up with verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding.
Mm-hmm.
We want to just reinforce the emphasis the Word of God has
right.
about all of this.
Understanding.
Yeah.
And that's the thing they say they don't have.
Right. And it says, forget it not. So obviously, from God's perspective, because this is inspired by the Holy Spirit, they're able to get these things.
Right.
It's possible.
Right.
But the emerging church, the mystics, the contemplatives say, oh, no, God is infinite. You know, he is transcendent. We can't understand him. We can only experience him. That's bogus.
Well, God says, and there are certain key verses, but there are many verses that say the same thing. But I'll quote again, Jeremiah 9, 23, 24, let not the wise glory in his wisdom, the mighty in his might, the rich in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this. I came into his bedroom last night and he got all goosebumpy and it was really fabulous, just this feeling I never felt. No, God says, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God puts understanding first. How are you going to understand the infinite God? Well, he wants to reveal himself to us not just in feelings,
right,
but in truth. And if we worship the Lord, he that worships the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Right. Then continuing in verse 5, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth.
Now, Tom, let me interrupt again. Forget it not. Apparently it doesn't change.
Right.
Apparently it's something we can know, and we retain it in our mind and in our hearts. And you don't just make it up, and it doesn't change, okay? But these people want to change everything.
Right. Well, they say it no longer applies, or it has to be in a certain context. And I mentioned last week we're going to get into contextual theology, but that may be next week or the week after, depending on how long it takes for us to get through this. But going on, verse 6, forsake her not, for referring to wisdom, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Sounds to me like wisdom is a good thing, Dave.
Right.
And, of course, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding.
Sounds like God wants us to understand, not just to have feelings, but to have understanding. In fact, he wants to reveal himself. And, oh, well, they say, we want to get to know God. How? Just with some feeling?
Mm-hmm.
No, he wants us to understand him.
And what are the benefits? Verse 8, exalt her, and talking again about wisdom, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, that is, hindered. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go through life, and you're going to make choices. Why not have the wisdom of God?
Right.
What he says is the right thing to do.
Right.
Not
absolutely.
That it can always be that easy, but what are the benefits? Well, I'm just going over them. Take fast hold of instruction. Wow. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life.
Tom, this is one of the things that characterizes most children, young people.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like instruction. We don't like rules. We don't like to be corrected.
Mm-hmm.
You know anybody who says, oh, please correct me? Well, I'll say that. Please correct me. But most people don't want to be corrected. Not easy for a husband to correct his wife. Whoops, let's just be careful now. Or the wife to correct her husband. Well, take it easy now. We don't want to offend one another. And we should be careful. But most people do not want instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Try it with a little child. One of the first things you see of a little child, you see that maybe it's working a little puzzle or something, and you see it's just getting nowhere, and you want to help it. No, I want to do it. And that is built into us.
Right.
And Solomon is giving wisdom to his son.
Mm-hmm. And Solomon's going to address those very things, Dave. I want to pick up with verse 20. Solomon goes on, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, Dave, this next verse, I know it's a verse that you've taught on quite a bit. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Well, Tom, we have a book called What Love Is This? Calvinism. We have several books about Calvinism, another one debating Calvinism, another one Honest Doubts Resolved. This is a very important subject because they deny, Calvin himself denied, and the Calvinists deny, that we really have the power of choice. We're totally depraved. We couldn't possibly choose, and so forth. Now, if you go through the Old Testament, which the Calvinists ignore, avoid, 17 times it talks about a free will offering. It talks about you bring an offering to the Lord, it must be of your own voluntary will. It goes into this over and over. And the word heart is used over and over. For example, Romans 10 and 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And you remember Philip, when the Ethiopian wanted to be baptized, he says, why can't I be baptized? Or what must I do to be baptized? And Philip says, if you believe with all your heart. Now, what does that have to do with what we're talking about? Well, we understand in the heart. God wants us to understand him. How can I believe something that I don't understand? It's impossible. It's like Andrew Murray, many years ago, he said, you cannot receive from God what you do not perceive he is offering you. We have to have some understanding. And it is very important to faith. How can I believe? How can I live by faith if I'm just kind of out there in space going by my feelings? This is what the Bible is about. Mm-hmm. This is the relationship God desires with mankind. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. Mm-hmm. And Tom, the emergent church leaders are just throwing all of that out and saying, well, I thought I understood, I thought I knew the Bible, but no, we got to throw all of that out.
Mm-hmm. And Dave, all we're asking, and for churches that are getting into this, check these things out. What are they saying, and how does it relate to what the Word of God says? For example, the verse that you just went over, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That means choices are going to be made from the heart. Well, let's go on with verse 24. Then God tells us what happens with regard to the choices that we make. Verse 24, put away from thee a froward, that is like a back-talking mouth, and perverse or contrary lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Well, how would that be if I don't have a reference point, if I don't have what God has told me to do, as the instructions he's given me?
And so we have Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
Mm-hmm.
Or Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man, and these people are reaching a lot of young people.
Right.
They want to get into this stuff, all right. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And that's what I'm supposed to hide in my heart. And this is where God reaches me, is in my heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. And so, Tom, it's pretty clear if we're willing to follow the scriptures.
Well, Dave, it doesn't look like they're willing. For example, in addition to the quotes that I gave by Rob Bell, he goes on to say, and I have numerous quotes along this line by many other emergent church leaders. He says, we have to embrace the Bible as the wild, uncensored, passionate account it is of people experiencing the living God. Now, the Lord willing, we're going to get into that. What does he mean, the wild, uncensored, passionate account? We'll check that out next week, then.
Yeah, I don't know where that will be in the Bible. I'll be interested to hear.